Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're talking about home improvement on the show today and focus a bit on smart homes. Chad Spate back with us. Chad's the owner of Chad's Design Build. Chad, good to have you back.
Thanks, Larry. Always great to be here.
And Michael Krieger, our guest as well. Mike is the owner and president of True Aspect in Madison. Mike, welcome. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
As we talk with these two experts, I hope you'll join in with your own questions or comments. What would you like to know about smart homes? Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Mike, let's start with you. How do you define a smart home?
I would say a smart home these days includes at least three things that are connected to the internet. Okay. That could be a camera system, a doorbell, a lighting system, things of that nature.
And your business, talk about your business a little bit. What are your...
So my business, we integrate electronics. We call ourselves a electronics integrator. So we'll take audiovisual systems, security systems, camera systems, lighting systems, and integrate those together to function as one cohesive system.
Yeah, and yours, what I understand is CEDIA, C-E-D-I-A, certified?
That is the Residential Trade Organization. It stands for the Custom Electronics Distribution Installation Association. Sorry about that.
Professional organization.
Correct. Yeah. Correct.
And how'd you get into this business anyway?
Let's see. I started as a hobbyist building speakers probably 30 years ago. And from there, I went to school for electronics and started. Once I got done with that, I did security systems, and then I did phone systems. Got kind of bored. Always had a passion for audio and video. And actually went to a home product show here in Madison and met my former employer, who needed somebody that knew how to do phone systems in these large-scale homes.
Yeah.
And I was the guy. And from there, it's now I've been on my own for almost 20 years. With my own business.
That's a long time. Chad, are you seeing more of these smart features being installed in the homes that you're working on?
Absolutely, Larry. So for us, it's kitchen appliances, lighting systems. A lot of times window covering systems will get programmed so that they can be operated from off of your smartphone or put on timers so that every day the west-facing windows, the shades will come down at 3 o'clock or whatever the homeowner programs. Of course, thermostats are becoming common that are Wi-Fi connected and people can manage the comfort in their home. So we're seeing every aspect of it get integrated.
When I think about it, I think, oh, my goodness me, with the things I've got in my home, I am not at all skilled in that sort of thing, Mike. Do you set things up for people so that they...
Yes. Yes. So we'll come in and from wiring till completion and programming, do everything. Usually, like when it comes to the thermostats or the lighting system, we'll pre-program schedules or scenes that the customer can then just reference from a simple button press.
So you don't have to do it, and it's all on one, perhaps on one...
One app or one unit? I prefer that, although a lot of times, depending on the product, it can't be on one app. Mm. It just kind of... You have to... This is where I come in and as the specialist and say, these are the products that we want to do to accomplish this outcome so that they are in one app and everything functions properly.
Chad Spade and Mike Krieger are our guests today as we talk with them about home improvement, zeroing in about on smart homes. But, of course, we'll take other questions as well relating to home improvement. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us, email address ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. I imagine the costs vary on this kind of thing, Mike.
Absolutely.
Is there any standard or basic
I always start off with the customer that they need a decent computer network within their home and Wi-Fi system. If you don't have a good backbone with those parts and pieces, the experience is not going to be good, regardless of how much you spend on the other parts and the pieces of the system. And that's because everything is controlled by an app on your phone nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also some products out there that don't necessarily perform well or work with everything, mm-hmm. which are usually the lower cost products. It really kind of varies on the project.
So what about resale value on something like this? If you've installed that system and now you're going to sell your home.
Well, so my experience over the last 20 years is that anything that's built into the house stays with the house. Speakers, wires, things of that nature. Unfortunately, when the assessor comes in, they still look at those things as amenities,
mm-hmm.
rather than a necessity. You could argue that speakers aren't really a necessity, but mm-hmm. today Wi-Fi is, and networking certainly is. So they're all things to consider, I think, when you're looking to purchase a home, if it's been wired already.
I was thinking about my own home where I've had some things. Now this is, did a total remodel of the house. It would be 10 years ago now, 11, maybe 11 years ago, and I have some things installed that are no longer needed because of Wi-Fi, for example. And so as the technology gets better and better, what do you see? I mean, is that something you do follow-up kind of work with people or...?
Yeah, I have a rather large existing customer base, and a vast majority of my projects are upgrades and maintain of existing systems, not necessarily always new systems. The thing that's really changed the most in the last 20 years has been the internet, obviously, but also the consumption of the internet, meaning the bandwidth.
Yeah.
Before 2000, Madison was a test market for high-definition TV. And Monday Night Football would be broadcast in HDTV, but you received it over the air with an antenna and a tuner.
Yeah.
You can still do that, but the majority of customers or majority of consumers now stream everything. And in order to stream everything, you need the internet backbone and the network backbone to do all that. So
it's probably best, or is it best used, I should say, or more frequently used in larger markets, or can rural areas, take advantage of this as well?
Well, it depends on the internet connection. I have probably a handful of clients that live in rural markets, and if they don't have a good internet connection, it would be really hard to think of even watching Netflix. And sometimes the situation is such that they're across the street from somebody who has a good internet connection, but the service provider won't run the wire
across the street.
Or they'll do it for an exorbitant amount of money, and the client just isn't going to pay that. So,
oh man,
yeah.
So, Mike, how do you? Or, I'm sorry, Chad. How do you work with? You obviously would need to work with Mike, for example, on something like this if you were doing a home improvement.
So, you know, for us, it always comes down to what are the amenities that our client is looking for in their renovation. And so we're bringing in a variety of specialists to collaborate and deliver those services. So someone like Mike, you know, would be involved often in collaborating directly with our electrician, because that's where we're, you know, dealing with running whatever wiring we want to have is kind of the backbone of the system. And then, you know, as Mike pointed out, with the growing functionality of Wi-Fi, you know, some it used to be, you know, 20 years ago, there was a wire running to every single item that made the house more interconnected. And now many of those devices are connected through the Wi-Fi system. So they aren't necessarily requiring a hard wire, but it all has to do with, does it integrate? You know, is it actually going to perform in a simple, intuitive way so that the customer can actually use it and enjoy it? Because I think for us, that's always the risk. And, you know, it's making sure that this isn't so complicated that it seemed like a really good idea at the beginning, but we don't use it anymore because it's just too complicated or it's fussy. And I mean, we don't get that complaint, you know, when we work with a specialist like Mike.
Yeah, that makes sense. I was thinking about my own. I've got a wire that runs outside that was installed during for speakers, outside speakers. Well,
sure.
I don't think I've ever used that. I don't think I have. Right. Oh, my gosh. Beth in Sturgeon Bay emailed us, is there an open source hub software that can control most of these devices so that it retains the privacy that would be given up by using a large commercial company, so to speak?
Not that I'm aware of. I'm sure that there is, but because it's open source, I would question the entire functionality of it if it exists.
Okay. Our guest, Chad Spade of Chad's Design Build, Mike Krieger, owner and president of True Aspect, as we talk with them about smart homes. I'm taking other questions as well. If you have a home improvement question, other than that, you can join in too. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or email us to ideas@wpr.org. Jill Nadeau, our producer today, Trina LaSousa is our engineer. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Taking a look at home improvement today and smart homes and making your home a smarter home than it is already with our guest, Chad Spade of Chad's Design Build, Mike Krieger, owner and president of True Aspect. Join in with your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or email to ideas@wpr.org. Let's go to the phones. Mark in Ashland, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
This is Mark from Stevens Point.
Oh, sorry, Mark.
That's all right. I have a number of devices in my home that are hooked up to the internet by way of my Wi-Fi system. I have two questions. One is my Wi-Fi system gives me two names, and I'm assuming one is a high speed and one is a slower speed. But my provider also, when they hooked up, there's a third name that I think is connected just to my internet connection from my service provider. And the second question I have, that question is, which is best to use? And the second question I have is, I have Bose speakers that are connected through an app that is connected to the Wi-Fi, and it seems to drop that over time, so I have to reconnect the speakers. How do you avoid having that happen? So I'll listen.
Okay, hang on there. I don't know, Mike, if you have any follow-up questions or not.
Yeah, so it sounds, Mark, like your Wi-Fi, the router is provided by your internet provider.
Yes.
I would suggest that you get a more robust Wi-Fi router that's Wi-Fi 6, which is the latest Wi-Fi for speed. And only use one network instead of two. What it sounds like they probably separated out the frequencies.
Well, my internet, my service provider provides me with a router that, you know, where it comes into the house, and that is one, that there's only one name associated with that. Oh. And I just...
Go ahead, Mark. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I said my internet service provider provided, you know, one connection called MC da-da-da-da-da. And then I had gone ahead, because I wasn't aware of that when they first put it in, I had gone ahead and purchased a whole home system that has a regular Wi-Fi and a I guess, you know, one that's upstairs as well. And that gives me two names. One is, I assume, a slower speed. One is a high speed.
So you're actually what is called double NATed. So you have two routers, because you have one from your internet provider as well as the one that you purchased.
Correct.
So what you want to do ideally is take the router. Is it a router modem that the internet provider gave you, or is it a separate?
Yes.
Okay, no. So you want to put that router modem in what's called bridge mode. And what that's going to do is that's going to pass the internet WAN connection through to your router and alleviate any confusion for your devices then.
Okay.
All right. Good enough. Thank you very much for calling, Mark. Appreciate your call. Dennis in Two Rivers will give you a chance. Hi, Dennis.
Hi. I was thinking, as far as cameras, they're good if there's somebody, if you need evidence for somebody breaking and entering, but then there's, of course, damage. So I thought, well, with a smart home, maybe there could be something that makes people, that makes potential intruders think, well, maybe somebody's home. Like when curtains or shades are closed and open, that's one thing, but maybe some lighting going on or off, or sounds, or maybe at night there could be lights and music, and there could be two silhouettes on the shade.
That's exactly what
I'll hang up and listen.
That's exactly what we do with particularly lighting control. Especially when we put a lighting control system in, we start with the landscape lighting around the home so that it comes on usually around sunset, and then goes off at an arbitrary time later at night. But also interior lights, you can, you know, do a handful of those inside the home that come on automatically, that makes the home appear as if someone's there, even if they're not.
Yeah. So that's fairly easily done, for at least from your end.
Yeah, it's actually easily done and not that expensive.
Okay. There we go. Thanks so much for calling. Ed in Northern Illinois, we'll go to you next. Hi, Ed.
Good morning. My question is regarding power over Ethernet for ceiling and other lighting. I'm currently just about ready to have an electrician come into a room addition with a cathedral ceiling and to be followed by a kitchen remodel. So I've been researching this last year. What's the chance of finding a control system that's not Savant or Creston that can be managed by a homeowner?
Yeah.
So programmed and managed by the homeowner?
Yep.
Yeah. So if you're talking lighting control, you can do some things like there's GE Sync, and Sync is CYNC. Those products are connected to your Wi-Fi network and are controlled through an app, and then you can find those at Best Buy or, you know, your various retailers. There are some lower end, and when I say lower end, I mean used in smaller installations from products from Lutron that also have apps that the homeowner can manage and program those systems with.
So they're out there. Yeah.
They're out there. Most of those, as a matter of fact, almost all of those aren't going to control audio, video, lighting, heating, you know, cameras.
Everything.
It's going to be one or one to three of those systems, but not all of those systems.
All right. Ed, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or email to ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. Chad, I want to get you back into this. What are you hearing, or what are you getting in the way of asks from people that you're doing business with right now across the broad range of remodeling?
Yeah, so I would say that the biggest thing that seems to be requested right now has to do with lighting. And, you know, lighting controls in homes certainly are, you know, something that has come a long way, and being able to, you know, as Mike referred to, kind of set the scene, program some things. So we're doing that. And if you're asking me about, forgive me, you may have been asking kind of about general remodeling. Yeah. So we're doing, you know, certainly still plenty of bathroom and kitchen remodels, but additions have really taken off during the pandemic. And folks are not only continuing to look for ways to make their current home more comfortable and livable to their lifestyle, but we've been adding on to a number of homes in a larger volume than in previous years. And I think that's a matter of you know, people realizing maybe they need a little more room for, say, being able to work at home. That's certainly been a huge demand that has come out of the pandemic. And just to enjoy their surroundings. You know, we have built a lot of beautiful screen porches over the last few years.
Yeah.
And that's just creating that kind of natural you know, haven in your backyard to be able to enjoy the outdoors, but behind a screen or maybe behind some windows. So.
You know, I was thinking back to when you, earlier in the year when you were on, I know we spent some time talking about delays in materials and that sort of thing. How is that getting better or...
Yeah, that's a great question. So I would say, by and large, things are moving back to pre-pandemic, you know, delays, which is to say that cabinets, you know, typically when we order cabinets for a project, we would have expected 6 to 10 weeks for delivery of something that we order tomorrow, and that had gotten up to 5 or 6 months back a year ago, and now we're back to 8 to 12 weeks, so that feels a little bit more, you know, normal. Same with windows. It's been really hard to obtain windows and certain products. You know, someone was asking me about garage doors, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something that we certainly, you know, it took forever to get a garage door, and now we're, you know, doesn't take quite as long. So it's just, it's been an ebb and flow thing, but the good news is that we're getting back to more typical availability for certain products, and the whole supply chain has shifted. A lot of companies are trying to source, you know, be more dynamic in how they source products. And, of course, we're part of that, too. We're looking for more dynamic ways, more options to be able to meet our clients' needs. And that unto itself creates, you know, more availability.
Yeah. And so. And with that, have costs moderated a bit on some of those raw materials that you have to deal with?
So in the commodities market, things like lumber prices, you know, the pricing has come back to, again, more to normal. But that has always fluctuated.
Yeah.
You know, it used to be that when there was a you know, large storm or natural disaster, you know, you would see lumber pricing spike because there's a demand to rebuild a part of the country. So that's always going to be the case. But I think that a number of commodities, things like cabinets and windows, we've seen pretty large price increases, and I don't expect those price increases to suddenly go back in the other direction. I think what happened is we've had a readjustment. There are some things that are simply going to be more expensive moving forward, but I think the good news is that we're likely to see fewer price increases in the year ahead, and you know, maybe things will be flat for a period while you know, demand is certainly starting to pull back a little bit. I mean, we still are 5 months out in our planning services, and we're about 8 months out in being able to build something once it's been planned. So that translates into a total lead time of about 12 to 15 months. You know, if you call today, we'll start the project a year to a year and a 3 months from now. And that is certainly longer than some people might like, but you know, someday maybe we'll be able to meet those demands a little bit faster. It's a, you know, it's hard to find people, right? That's the other thing, that materials are one thing, but we're all struggling with finding qualified employees to be able to fulfill the tasks that we're needing to do.
So. Yeah. Ben emailed, this is just a question about his bathroom. It's steaming up even though he has a fan. And he wonders what the heck of the fix is for something like that.
Sure. Well, so there are a couple of things. So one thing we're always going to look at is that the fan itself, there may be an obstruction in the venting. And so the first place that we would look is to see if, in fact, the airflow that should be happening with that fan is actually happening. And if that's not the problem, then we could look at other things. It could be that the fan itself is not rated to pull enough air. It could be that the heating and cooling system for the bathroom makes it harder for that fan to do its job. So we'd look at a number of things, but sometimes it's hard to get that fan to do it.
Well, I'll tell one on myself at this point relating to this. I noticed a friend was over, and we noticed up on the second floor vent a bird getting through the vent, and it had cracked in that, I don't know, some storm of one or another, and I never noticed it because it's on the second floor.
Yep.
So
that can be an issue. We see that a lot of times with dryer vents, particularly if you have a second or you know, higher level dryer vent outlet. If you know, that's a very cozy place for a bird to consider building a nest for the wintertime, because
yeah, this happened to be a dryer vent, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
And I the guy who did the remodeling on my house was nice enough to come over and happened to have a 25-foot ladder, I think.
right.
And went up there and replaced it, but he took a foot and a half of nesting material out of the which is also a fire hazard.
Well, absolutely, and it's also going to reduce the effectiveness of your dryer when you've got debris in that duct. So, yeah.
Beth emailed to ask if she needs to take classes to get into the trades, or can she find a company to train her? I guess it would depend on the trade itself.
Right. So with many trades, you know, while it's certainly possible to do some online classes, and there's certainly all sorts of things that we do all the time in our renovation line of work and in home home improvements that, you know, we take classes and we learn, but hands-on training is important too, and that's where programs like Madison College and other technical colleges have really come a long way here in the last 10 years to further improving the programs that they already had. And that would be a way, depending on what Beth's interests are, I would encourage her to reach out to the technical colleges in her community, because that will supplement the education and training that she might find otherwise through the internet. And then, of course, there are various trade associations that she might consider connecting with to, you know, make contacts with other professionals, and in that maybe end up in some sort of an apprentice program.
Yeah,
where, again, there's the opportunity to get that hands-on training that's really invaluable. You learn so much by just doing this stuff. So.
And the trades certainly are looking for skilled people, and probably, and I know from past experience, even when you've been on the show in the past with some tradespeople, if I'm not mistaken, they're more than willing. If somebody's really interested and wants to get into it, they're more than willing to sit down with that person and
absolutely
go through what and that's another thing that somebody like Beth could do. It, even just contacting some of the local trade people in her area.
Yeah, you know, the thing that I would always point out is that specialists that build and maintain homes are, that can't be outsourced. That is a local, you know, laborer.
Yeah,
that is highly trained, typically, in whatever task we need them to do. And there will always be opportunities in all these fields to help homeowners and business owners maintain their property. So,
Veronica called, couldn't stay with us, but has a question for Mike, I think. She's
sure.
Wondering how difficult is it to make an older home a smart home? She has a home that's over 100 years old, and it's a brick home.
Oh.
So she's wondering how difficult is it to work with a home like that?
Well, brick homes present a unique challenge for Wi-Fi because it's hard to transmit. But there's, you know, where there's a will, there's a way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it kind of depends on the smart features that she's looking for.
But it can be done.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. Mike, or I'm sorry, Matt emailed that because his teenager always wants to hang in their upstairs bedroom with the door closed, of course. He put a wireless doorbell in their bedroom with the button in the kitchen so he doesn't have to yell upstairs.
That's pretty unique. I just call my son on his phone, I guess.
Oh my gosh. Chad Spade of Chad's Design Build, Mike Krieger, owner and president of True Aspect, our guest today. We're talking home improvement on the show today, and zeroed in a bit on smart homes, but we're taking other questions as well, of course, as we move along. Question about your home, I hope you'll join in. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email us, the email address, ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Taking a look at the home renovation, zeroing in a bit on smart homes, but taking other questions as well. And you can join in at 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us, the email address, ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. Love to hear from you. Eileen in Viroqua, let's go to you next. Hi, Eileen.
Hi.
What can we do for you?
I have a place up north that I frequent in the summer, but in the winter we're not up there much, and we short-term rent it. And I need to put in some smart meters so that I'm not spending a lot of money heating the place when I'm not there. And I'm wondering if there's any tips on which is best, or, you know, just anything pertaining to smart thermostats.
So the first question I'd have is, do you have an internet connection at your vacation home?
Yep.
Okay. And I'm assuming you have a heating and cooling system that's there as well.
No cooling, but we have a radiant floor heat, which is electric.
Okay.
And not one of the newer ones. It's like a pretty hardy one that was put in a whole house system.
That's a unique situation. I would have to look at the specific product to give you a solid recommendation. But there should be a controllable thermostat that you can replace with your existing thermostats with, that would give you functionality from your smartphone.
You could do it from the smartphone.
Yeah, and set up schedules so that, you know, if the property isn't being rented out, you could put it into, call it an away mode or a vacation mode that dials the heat back but doesn't go too low so that your pipes don't freeze, obviously.
Okay, and so something like that, what's that going to cost? A few hundred bucks?
Yeah, a few hundred bucks for the thermostat, yeah. Not a whole lot of money.
All right, there you go, Eileen. Thank you for calling. David in Madison will turn to you next. Hi, David.
Hi, how are you guys doing today?
Great, appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Good. I'm in my young 70s, and I bought my first house when I was 24, and put my furnace in by myself, and I did the general contracting on my other house, my third house in 91. But anyway, my business card read, "The finest compliment I can receive is a referral from past clients. Thank you for your trust." And one thing that I want to stress is communication. Cannot communicate enough, because some people are, you know, they don't understand things. You need to talk with them about where the budget is at, even weekly, or some projects I've left my handwritten, itemized, you know, statement out. I've left that at the person's house, you know, and I'd have done bathroom remodels and moved plumbing in houses and tuck pointing up on third floor, you know, cabinets, drywall, kitchen, bathroom remodel, stuff like that. And one person that I was referred to wanted me to put in a new light in their entryway, pretty big entryway. And I gave her a roll of blue masking tape. I said, put this roll where you'd like your light to be. And I put the new light there. I lucked out. It had an old metal, you know, three-gang box. And I got in with out with a real tiny screwdriver and put a new box next to that, and then bought a big plate over at, a wholesale place.
Your main point, I think, on this, David, is communication, and I guess I would ask both of our guests, start with you, Chad.
Sure. Well, you know, the biggest challenge many times, which is why we go through a really careful planning process with our clients, is to figure out what exactly are the needs and the desires of our client. You know, what are they hoping to improve? Why are we doing or thinking about doing the things that we're talking about? Because as professionals in the trade, and I appreciate some of the points you made, David, it's true that we have to really make sure we're listening well to our clients, to make sure then we can deliver a product and service that's going to meet their needs. And if we're not listening, we might just offer up something that worked for many other folks but isn't a good fit for that particular homeowner. So I would agree that communication is really important prior to and during a project. And frankly, in remodeling, that's what makes our business so different from being a new home builder. And of course, a home builder has to communicate too if they're doing a custom home for a client. But if a remodeler is in your house working while you're living in that home, that is a truly a unique service, and it can be incredibly stressful. It always is, frankly, very stressful to have renovation work happen in your home while you're living there. And so if you don't know when someone is coming or you don't know exactly what they're doing, then, you know, there's a lot of additional stress that can be added to a project. So absolutely, here's to communication.
Yeah, I'm sure you're agreeing with that, Mike.
Absolutely. The best remodelers and builders that I've worked with are also the best communicators. And I'm speaking from not just as a contractor that works with them, but also as a consumer that's had them in my own home. Doing projects for myself.
Yeah,
I try to figure out through a series of questions and answers with the customer what their end goal is with the smart home technology or the electronics that we provide and install in their homes. And often they have an idea, but they don't exactly know what's possible. So we'll go through a series of suggestions and try to get to, you know, an end point before we start planning everything.
Before it starts, because I think in either of your cases, if there's something you miss and you're starting on something and then something else, oh, wait a minute, I forgot to tell you this. And is, well, if I'd known that, I wouldn't have...
Yes, or it snowballs and it becomes way more expensive than they ever wanted to spend money on.
Yeah.
That's the worst case scenario.
Yeah. David, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in too. Number to call 800-642-1234. Email to ideas@wpr.org. Jake in Madison, we'll give you a chance now. Hi, Jake. Thanks for calling.
Hi, yeah, I'm calling about, I have a house that was built in 1973, so the wiring doesn't have neutral wires, and I want to add smart switches, and I added a neutral-free smart switch, and I wasn't really happy with the performance of it, and I was just wondering if it's, like, worth updating the wiring to add neutral wires or just go the smart bulb route, because I have a couple smart bulbs, but it's expensive to update every bulb.
So what do you recall what brand of smart switch you put in?
No, I can't remember the brand. I just know it's new. I tried a neutral one, and then I realized they have neutral wiring, and then I went to neutral free, and then it just the load on the circuit causes it to like flicker when it turns on.
Is the load an LED bulb or a CFL bulb?
I believe they're LED.
So you may have the issue where there's not enough of a load for the switch to perform. Lutron, as well as other brands, they make neutral-free smart switches that you can get. But they also make, it's basically a load resistor to add resistance so that the switch can perform. When we move to LED bulbs, they're so drastically less consuming of electricity that the switch needs... resistance, you look, you know, in electronic terms, the switch needs resistance in order for it to function properly. There's also the possibility that the bulb is incompatible with the switch because there are no manufacturing regulations for LED bulbs, contrary to popular belief.
Oh.
So you might buy the same bulb from the same manufacturer, from the same store, that's manufactured in a different lot, and it may not perform like the one you bought last week.
Wow.
Sorry, that's the reality of it. So I would try switching the bulb first and maybe just go buy a different brand and see if that makes it work better.
But otherwise, a resistor, you said?
Well, it's specific to the smart switch manufacturer, but I know for a fact Lutron makes, I can't remember the part number, but it's really a load resistance so that the switch performs with the lower consumption light bulbs.
Jake, does that help? I think we lost.
Yeah, no, that's useful.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Oh my gosh! Well, that's a new one on me. I had some lights installed when the house was remodeled, and now some of them are burning out finally after 10 years. And now I'm looking around to try and find ones that look like the other ones. And
yeah, right.
Yeah, they are not in existence anymore.
Yes, it gets really tricky when you are trying to update an older home that has a traditional lighting control system, which is a panelized system, and they're expecting an incandescent bulb, but you can only source LED bulbs, and all of a sudden it just doesn't work right. You know, so
there you go. Paula in Egg Harbor, we'll give you a chance now. Hi, Paula.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. This is so great that you're having this conversation right now. We are having a small home addition built. We want to. It's 1,500 square feet, and we thought the quote, it's a smart home, we thought the quote was going to be closer to 300,000, and it looks like it's going to be 500,000, and this build is like an addition, but we would live in it. Right now we live above a 2-car garage, and it's small and we're older.
And so it's and, a 1,500 square foot addition, you say?
Yes, it would be like a studio. I'm an artist. It's going to have living, just open concept, bedroom, kitchen, bathroom. And then we wanted to rent what we have here, but that we're older and we don't have like this steady. I don't know. That seemed crazy. A 500,000. You don't even know if it, we're afraid that it could be even more once we get started.
So what do you do in a situation like that? Chad?
Well, first off, I just want to speak to the issue of what things cost. One of the things that we spend a lot of time talking to our clients about is the fact that when you build an addition typically on a home, the cost per square foot is always going to be more than the cost per square foot of building a new home, you know, in a cornfield somewhere. And that has to do with a variety of factors, but one we were just talking about earlier, all the time that you spend communicating, planning, and accommodating the fact that someone's living right there on site while you're also doing all of this construction work. And then you're paying to integrate all of the systems of the old home with this new addition, as opposed to just doing it all once the first time, which is what happens when you build a new home. So those costs that you're sharing are not at all surprising to me. I would say it seems like, and again, not knowing exactly what you're getting, and the devil's always in the details, but you know, that's certainly not a shocking amount of money. But the way we always deal with this topic is, our clients have a budget, and then they have things they want to accomplish with that budget. And it's always a challenge to design something that gives someone everything they want, also at the price they were hoping to invest. Often there's a disconnect between what they want and what they have to pay to get it. And so it's important to have a really good planning process so that everyone understands what you're getting and what you're not getting. And then to have a really good contract so that, you know, your builder is accountable to this thing that they've told you they're going to provide or deliver.
And I don't know how many people are in your area that do that work, Paula. You're in Egg Harbor, which is, there probably aren't a lot, but I my other comment I'm sure you'd echo would be to make sure that you've talked to a couple or two or three people at least, different people, remodelers, and get quotes from more than one.
Yeah, that's always a tricky thing. I mean, certainly you want to make sure you're talking to someone that is, or you're working with someone that's qualified and that you trust.
Absolutely.
You know, getting an accurate price on a big project like that is typically something, you know, you're not going to find people that are willing to give you free proposals. You might, but getting an estimate or getting someone to say, well, this does this seem reasonable? That's certainly worth doing.
That's worth doing.
Yeah.
Our guest today, Chad Spade of Chad's Design Build, Michael Krieger of True Aspect. He's owner and president of that company as we talk smart homes and home improvement. They'll be with us right up till 12:30. You can join in, too, 1-800-642-1234. Back right after the news. Talking about home improvement on the show today with our two guests, Chad Spade, owner of Chad's Design Build, and Michael Krieger. Mike's the owner and president of True Aspect. He's a certified professional installer of electronics, has over 14 years of experience with electronics and technology, and certainly happy to answer your questions. What questions do you have about smart homes? Do you have a different home improvement question? Love to hear from you. Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us, email address ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. The question here relating to features for older owners. Are there some smart home features that are good options for elderly or older homeowners?
Yeah, I think that the video doorbell that rings to your phone is definitely one of those features, because you can look at the camera on your phone and decide whether you want to answer it or not. And if you want to answer it, you can do it right from your phone. You don't have to really get up and go to the door.
Yeah, that's probably a really nice one.
Yeah. There's also, if you're concerned about health or if something were to happen, you can tie in a button that you wear around your neck to alert authorities or the, you know, hospital or the police, mm-hmm, or emergency services if you have a problem. If you're an older resident.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense as well. So those are a couple of good ones right off the bat.
Yeah, yeah.
And what about something like those two items? I would think, well, there's cost involved, but
sure,
it's not going to break your bank, I don't think.
No, not at all. The video doorbells range from $79 to a few thousand, depending on what the features are. When I say a few thousand, there's biometric retinal scanners that you can get, but you know, I'd love to sell somebody one.
Oh man, Kyle in Madison, we'll give you a chance now. Hi, Kyle.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Yes, I'm actually in the process of getting my contracting license, so I appreciate you bringing on some experts. Just a quick question. I'm about a year and a half away from tearing my main level out to studs, and I want to future-proof the house. It was built in the 70s, and, you know, I'd like to get to the smart home features. What are some things you'd recommend? I know someone called earlier about, a big remodel, but what are some things that we can do to kind of future-proof our house? I know Cat 6 is a big thing, but is there anything else you'd recommend? Thanks for the time.
Okay.
Well, from the smart home side of things, Cat 6 is what we run as a standard today. I've been doing this long enough to know that we've gone from Cat 3 to Cat 5 to Cat 5e to Cat 6, and there's even Cat 6a. If you really want to future-proof those locations where you have televisions or you know, things like that, run the wire now, but also put in what's known as a Smurf tube, which is a plastic flexible duct, and run that back to your mechanical room so that in say 25 years, when it's something else, we don't know what it's going to be, you can fish a wire through that Smurf tube.
Oh, I like that idea. And and Kyle's got the perfect setup for it now.
Yeah, down to the studs, it's the best time to do that.
Yeah.
And then what I would add is, you know, the best money you will ever spend when you're renovating your home is to properly air seal and insulate it. So if you're, you know, gutting this house, and houses that were built in the 70s and 80s are notoriously poorly detailed in this area. And it's in, you know, has to do with the fact that we were starting to require certain things be done to make the homes more energy efficient, which was a good thing. But there wasn't a full understanding of the impact of some of those approaches, and it wasn't always fully integrated in a way that the house was going to perform long term and not have issues. And we've come a long way in understanding how vapor barriers and proper insulation and air sealing all work together. So you can do that now, and I'm really glad Mike mentioned the Smurf tube, because the problem when you properly air seal and insulate a home is it's really hard to then get into exterior walls and add things. But if you've put in those Smurf tubes, which are essentially the chase that Mike referred to be able to run a future wire, you've done it all. You have the flexibility to run something new, but you've also built the home so that it's going to be comfortable and healthy, and less expensive to live in.
Yeah, there you go, Kyle. Thank you so much for calling. Good question. Kathy and Franklin, we'll go to you next. Hi, Kathy.
Hi. I just wanted to talk about, we have a 30-year home, and we bought it 20 years ago. And when we bought it, it had a intercom system, music system throughout the house. And it's gone defunct. It no longer works properly at all. And my question is, how critical would it be for us to, if we wanted to remove everything ourselves, you know, get a drywaller to repair all the, you know, the each room has its own, you know, access system. How would it be better to call a professional to pull all the wires and get rid of the system, or just do it ourselves?
You could do it yourself. The reality is that that's a low voltage system. So when you remove the in-wall intercom piece and you disconnect the wires, as long as there's no power to those wires, to my knowledge, there's no reason why you can't just have it drywalled in. I don't think there's even a code violation for that.
Yeah, the tricky, you know, the home base is where the power comes in typically, and then from there all the low voltage wires run out. So as long as you properly cap off that home, the kind of master control, then you'll be good.
Yeah, it's probably in your kitchen.
And I want to ask, Mike, is there any use for the wires that are going to those rooms? Is anything that you could do with those with any of the technologies that are out there now?
No, not really.
Okay. I just wanted to ask because I just had that question.
If you have enough of them, it might be, you could probably make it a temperature sensor because they're usually two-wire systems.
Okay.
But otherwise, no.
Otherwise, no. Kathy, there you go. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Bye.
Yeah, appreciate the call. You can join in, too. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us. Email address ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. When you're putting in, somebody wants to know, when you're putting in a smart home system, how much extra time are you adding to the build, if anything?
Well, that really depends on how elaborate it is. Typically, for my average client, and it's a very generic term there.
Mm-hmm.
It usually adds 2 days you know, a day to do the wiring and a day to do the installation, maybe a third day if it's, you know, some larger television screens or something like that. It's not a whole lot of time.
So not a lot of time. Jeff in Green Bay has a question for you. Let's go there. Hi, Jeff.
Hi. I've got an existing fireplace, gas fireplace, that has two switches, one a wall switch that turns the fireplace on and off, and then the second is a rheostat that turns the fan on and also controls the velocity of the fan. And I'm wondering if I replace the switch, I'm pretty sure I can replace with just a smart switch, but I'm wondering if a smart dimmer will control the fan properly.
No, it will not. It's a different type of load. So you would need a fan control, and different manufacturers make those. It's not necessarily a rheostat, though. It's more like three or four different speeds that are preset, so it's not a dial. You would want one of those.
All right. There you go. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in too, 800-642-1234. Email to ideas@wpr.org. Somebody else is wondering about a potential slowdown in building due to interest rates. Has that affected you yet, Chad?
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, certainly the roughly 10 years we've had of free money, for lack of a better way to say it, you know, has been an unusual moment in the history of our, you know, country. Interest rates right now are back more to what you'd consider to be typical, right? Not super high. I mean, you know, I remember most of my life, I think a mortgage has been in the 6-8% range. But it's an adjustment for all of us right now, because now, you know, you can't borrow as much money as you could have a year ago and have the same low payment over.
We got really used to the free money.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So that's going to be an adjustment. And so, yes, inevitably it has, you know, I was just looking at an economic report today, looking at out of the National Kitchen and Bath Association and, you know, what they're predicting. And it's just slower growth as opposed to so they're not really looking or predicting at this point a contraction. They're just saying slower growth. Things are slowing down, and it makes it easier to do something if you can still afford to do it.
Yeah.
But that, you know, we're seeing some of our clients having to adjust their budgets, because when they were planning to borrow that big chunk of money for the project, maybe they haven't, you know, signed on the dotted line for that refinance yet. And so now all of a sudden what they can borrow has changed. So.
Yeah. And even home values, I mean, if you're looking at what a person's credit rating is, for example, I noticed actually that the ratings change a bit because the value of the house goes down slightly because of the higher interest rates.
Right. That's true. No, it's a topic unto itself, right, to talk about how housing values are impacted by interest rates. But certainly housing values have been inflated as a result of it being easier for people to borrow the money to buy them, you know, because that increased demand for a higher ticket item.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I looked at a few homes in my neighborhood that I just shook my head when I found out what those homes sold for back with those 3% interest rates or whatever. Jim in Madison, let's go to you next. Hi, Jim.
Hi. I have a wooden fireplace in my house. It's it has a blower system that sucks in hot air, throws it out to the house. I can isolate. It doesn't have to draw air from the house itself. And so I'm curious, what would it run roughly to run that with natural gas, which I do already have piped into my house, just a ballpark figure.
Well, so is the current wood-burning fireplace, is it a dual system that you could put, you know, convert it to a natural gas?
I don't think it has that feature, no.
So you're probably going to be looking at installing a new firebox, and that, you know, is a system that could either be dual fuel. There are some that they make that you can burn wood in them so that you could continue that functionality if you want it, but then have the gas line there to be able to utilize that as well. I mean, typically you're going to kind of commit to one for a season. It's not something you switch back and forth all the time, but... you can do that, or if you're looking to just switch outright to a gas firebox, you know, you would want to reach out to one of the certified installers in your area here. It looks like you're in Madison. I mean, there are a number of places that can show you those units, and they can install them. If you're a do-it-yourselfer, well, perhaps that could be undertaken, but I wouldn't necessarily recommend it. But so it is possible to switch that out, and you can still have that isolation. And it's, in fact, it's preferred that you have a system that is not using the air in your home for combustion to provide better efficiency and safety.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Mike, somebody else was wondering... about remotes.
Sure.
So what if you're like me and can't find your remote half the time, or what if the dog eats it or chews it up?
Well, there are voice controlled systems that we can install. Here again, though, the microphone's on the remote, so maybe that won't work so well. I would venture to say that the best remote is probably the phone in your pocket, because most people aren't going to let the dog eat that one.
So you're saying that the ones that you install, many of those people just use their phone.
Yes, the vast majority of home automation systems that control things like your television or your furnace or lights have an app that accompanies them. In entertainment spaces, though, some people really like the feel of a button on a remote control.
Yeah.
Usually that's the male in the home, and he's a channel surfer, and, you know. So we still have remotes that work in conjunction with the app.
Oh, okay. So if you lose that.
Yeah, or if the remote control, the battery dies, you can still use the app on your phone, right, vice versa.
There you go. Yeah. Tom in Madison, let's go to you next. Hi, Tom.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Chad, I'm wondering, a fireplace question. We have a gas starter in our fireplace that, you know, we light, and we have to light it manually. And then it, you know, starts the wood, you know, gets it going, and then we shut it off and just have a wood-burning fireplace. So that pipe that is associated with the gas starter has corroded badly, and parts of it are falling off. Is that something that I should not continue to use? Is there a danger that somehow the flame will, you know, sort of go back up the pipe system? Or is it nothing to worry about?
Well, great question.
I'd worry.
Yeah, I'm worried. I mean, I'm a little concerned, but you know, I rely on some of the folks that, you know, install those fireboxes for us. It could be that the thing you're seeing isn't something to worry about, but I would recommend having a professional come out and take a look at it, and maybe, you know, it's an opportunity to kind of do a tune-up on the system to make sure that everything is working well, and if it is something that does need to be replaced, then they probably would be able to take care of that for you.
Yeah. Tom, thank you so much. Patty called to remind folks that if you go to the Focus on Energy website, you can get great deals on thermostats, LED light bulbs, and other energy-saving devices. Is that a good idea?
Yes, very good idea.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. How did we not mention Focus and all this? You know,
it's the yeah.
Always I, give it a few plugs during. It,
Focus
show.
On Energy is just a great place to go for a whole bunch of things. That yeah, it is kind of a surprise, Chad, that we haven't. That hasn't come up until just now.
You know, I want to add too, Larry, that, you know, Focus on Energy helps sponsor this great annual conference that used to happen in the winter up in the Dells. And this year they're doing it in December in Stevens Point. And I'm excited because I can go. So I've registered for that conference. But if you are in, you know, a, kind of an energy geek or someone in the home building or home improvement world and want the opportunity for some great training and, you know, information on trends and the latest, greatest products and research on what works well. That's always a great thing to check out. So I'll give a plug for that since Patty called in. So.
And Mike, how do people find your website?
The website address is www.true-aspect.com.
True-aspect.com.
Yep. And if you have any questions, you can go to the info page, or if you've got a project that you would like me to help you with, you can go to the information page and type in your name and your question, and it'll come right to my inbox.
And Chad?
Yeah, we're chadsdesignbuild.com, and same thing. Every time I'm on the show, I get one or two folks to fill out online questionnaire with a question, and I'll always follow up.
All right. There we go. Well, thanks, you guys, very much for taking time to be with us today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Our guest today, Chad Spade, owner of Chad's Design Build, and Michael Krieger, the owner. Mike's the owner and president of True Aspect. Great to have both of them with us, and I'm sure we'll be talking about these issues down the road as well. We always do. And by the way, full disclosure, Chad's Design Build is one of WPR's many business sponsors. Looking ahead to tomorrow, my gosh, it's Friday already. That means Garden Talk. Diana Alfeth and Kevin Schessel will be back with us from the northern part of the state, and we'll talk with them about protecting your trees from winter damage. That's Friday from 11 to 12:30 right here on the Ideas Network. In the meantime, thanks for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store. I'm Larry Mueller.